You are good. You're so good to me, Lord. I want to share this. I read this today. I read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude. And I was reminded of the scripture when I read it and I actually listened to it. I played it. And how many of you know on your YouVersion app, if I was listening to the NIV, there's a little arrow on it, you can press it and it'll read it to you. So if you have a Bluetooth device, I have in my car, and drive, listen to it. I have headphones, listen to it on your phone, whatever. This is what I just was focused on in 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. Now listen to this. God is light. Everybody say that. God is light. In him. Now, don't get my verses scripture. Whoever said that, that's in another portion of the Bible I'm reading tonight. God is light. Say that with me. Say, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim, no, just listen to me. I just wanted to say God is light. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We don't live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies you and I from all sin. And then he says this right after that. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now wait a minute, he just said that we walk in the light as he is in the light, that we won't sin. But then he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because my brothers and my sisters, you and I were born in sin. There are none righteous, no, not one. But the blood of Jesus has come and he has sacrificed not just for a few, but for whosoever will. And the scripture goes on to say in verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we haven't sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. When I read that and listened to it again today, I was just reminded of the need that I have as a human being of a Savior in my life. Someone that I can go to when I just flat up mess up and confess my fault. And he reminds me, he said, I am there with the blood that I have shed from Calvary to cleanse you, to forgive you, to heal you, to redeem you, to make your life brand new, to let you hit that reset button in your life and start all over. Don't let the enemy define you by what you have done or haven't done. Let the Lord define you by what he says right here. You are clean. You have been forgiven. You are washed. You have available to you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't have to live bound up in some addiction, some sin, some trouble, some failure in your life. God has come to set you and I free. And whom the Son sets free, the Bible says, he is free indeed. Come on, if you believe it, give him a praise tonight. Come on up, Ryan.
It's good to see you tonight. Good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. I want to read a portion of scripture. You know how to give, don't you? Will you put the screen up tonight? You can give a few different ways. Text the City Church NY to 77977. An envelope. They're in the seat backs. The push pay app. That's how I give every month. I have it on a reoccurring giving, and I don't have to look at it. And unless my income changes, then I go back to it. And then online, also on our website. But I want to read this to you. And this struck me this week. I've read this many, many times. I pray the Lord speaks to you in this. I shared a little bit briefly about what Jesus said, that anything you give for the kingdom's sake, for the gospel's sake, you get 100 times back. How many of you remember that and you've kind of logged that away this week? I want to read you something else that's along those lines. And it's in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9. It says these words, "And she said unto her husband," this is a woman that was on, Elijah was traveling, he's ministering, he's on the road, and he doesn't have a big white house to go back to. He's looking for a place to stay, to get some bread, to be warm, to be dry. And this woman, and we could get into the history of this woman, but we don't have time. But what she says, I love. She says these words. She said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive." That's important. Catch that just for a second. "I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he comes to us, that he shall turn and have a place to stay." You know that scripture. If you've read your Bible at all, you know the story. The woman says to her husband, it's nothing weird. It's not like, "Hey, come stay at my house," kind of thing. It's "I care for this man. This man is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Don't you hate when that happens, when your phone goes off like that? It happens to me. It's okay. "You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to come be with me." And I want you to just catch a couple little points in this. It says that she perceived of him. It means that she felt in her spirit there was something special about this man. It didn't say in the scripture she knew he was a prophet. It says that she perceived this thing. She makes this room, which leads us to believe she's fairly well off, right? She takes the time to get a bed, a stool. She takes care of not only the kingdom, but God's man. Don't read into that with what I'm sharing. But I love how she perceives the work of the ministry coming out of Elijah, and she meets the need of him. This is what I want to point out. Number one, she takes care of the need of the prophet. When you give, you provide for the needs of the house of the Lord. We're able to do the work of the ministry. We're able to broadcast. We're able to put the lights on. We're able to clean. We're able to buy products that we need for the church. This coming Wednesday, we're going to give a bunch of food out at St. Anthony's. You make a way for that when you give. The second thing I want to say to you, though, if you read on in this portion of Scripture, it's very interesting. Elijah begins to have this back and forth with her and says, "You've done this thing for me. What can I do for you?" Man, I love that. I love that because we're taught that, you know, just give and don't worry about it. Don't give it a second thought. But you know what? There is something in relationship about reciprocity. There is something, "Hey, I bought dinner this time, you buy dinner next time." And they begin to have this dialogue. And she says, "Really, there's nothing I want. There's nothing I need." Over and over and over again. And you can hear the tone. You can hear the sound in the scripture where Elijah's getting irritated with her. Like, there's got to be something I can help you with. She says, "No, no, no, no." She never perceives that Elijah has something that he could bless her with. "I'm good. I'm set. I'm all taken care of. Don't worry about me." Is there any "don't worry about me" people in here tonight? There's quite a few. Interesting, though, how God works. There's a servant who's kind of like a friend. And the servant speaks up and he says to Elijah, "Master, prophet, Elijah, there is one thing that I've noticed. I overheard a conversation. You know the story. This woman would love a child. And it goes on to say that the prophet Elijah says, in a year from now, you will have a child. I share that story to say this to you. I felt so clearly in my spirit, maybe it was just for me, that there's someone in here, you've been faithful, you've been sowing, you've been tithing, you've been giving your offering, you've been serving, you've been loving, you've been giving. And whenever someone says to you, what do you need? What do you have need of? That you said, I'm all taken care of. Don't worry about me. That's not the way God works. That's not the system that He's created. When you give, it shall be given unto you. And here's my statement for you. There are people in here, I'm all good. You're the I'm all good kind of guy. I'm not that guy. I go to God and I say, God, this is my dream. Woohoo! I hope you'll help me with it. And you want to know something? And I'm not bragging tonight. If you know me, we don't brag or anything like that. But everything I've ever asked the Lord to do, He's done it. My challenge for you is, number one, get in that covenant. Some of you aren't in the covenant and you're asking God. It ain't coming, baby. It ain't coming to you. You've got to walk in the promise. The minute you get in that promise, you can go to God and say, God, this is my dream. This is out of the park. I can't make this happen on my own. I can't have a child. My husband's too old. But in the midst of that, all of a sudden, God does a mighty work. Would you close your eyes? If you got an outlandish dream and you've been asking the Lord for it, just lift your hand all over the place, all over this place, even at home. Father, every hand that's lifted, I pray, first of all, that they walk in the covenant promise. That they won't just walk out of here and hear another message, but, Lord, they'll walk out and they'll get on push pay. They'll walk it out. But as they do, Father, in Jesus' name, that every dream in their heart, the most outlandish, Father, that You'd make it come to pass as only You know how. We thank You for it. We bless Your name. Every hand that's lifted in faith tonight, Father, I even claim it for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you receive that tonight? Yeah, good, good. Well, tonight I have an opportunity of introducing a friend, but I want to say something really quick before I do that. I was reading a portion of Scripture this week in 2 Timothy, and you know the Scripture. It says, Paul's writing Timothy, he says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all that long for His appearance. Why do you bring that up, Ryan? I bring it up for this reason. I was sitting in a class, and they begin to teach about IQ, EQ, and then AQ. Have you ever heard of AQ? Raise your hand. You have? I had never heard about it. Give me the Q. Quotient. Quotient is the Q in the IQ, EQ, AQ. The ability to adjust is the AQ. It's interesting when Paul writes, I fought the good fight. I can't find where he fought. He never got in a fist fight with anybody. He never got in a scrap with anybody. Here's what it's referring to. He adjusted to the circumstance of his life. He didn't just throw in the towel when things got tough. He didn't just say, hey, man, I'm out of here. I can't. The serpent bit me, really? The shipwreck really happened? I can't even see anymore. He didn't say any of those things. He adjusted. He had this keen ability to adjust as life circumstances came at him. And I love, you know, my dad. I've watched my dad adjust throughout the years. I watched Chuck Wood, Chuck Vendetti, these older guys adjusting. But I'm learning now to adjust. When tough things happen, okay, let me adjust. Let me move. Let me flow. And it's great when you have friends. You have people. You have those that you can walk with and talk about those adjusting times. Pastor Aaron, we're adjusting as we minister together. Brad's another one of them young men that we talk about those adjusting times. So that someday we won't say, hey man, we shouldn't have thrown in the towel. We're going to say, Brad, we're going to say, Tom, we're going to say, fill in your name. We made adjustments. It was hard, but we moved forward. I would like you to give my friend Brad T. a big hand tonight as he comes.
Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Wasn't that worship awesome? Just unbelievably awesome. And I just want to hand it back to the worship team, and I just want to give it back to Jesus, because some of you know me, some of you don't. You could be live on Facebook. I appreciate you joining me. But there's a long story behind this guy being able to stand here right now, and it's because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of Pastor Marty preaching the gospel about hitting the reset button. It's talking about being washed clean. So I just want to give it back to Jesus. If you could give him a hand clap. It's kind of funny. I started thinking about tonight, and I just want to, you know, kind of build up and edify my wife tonight. And I started thinking, babe, this is kind of a date night. Pastor Aaron said, no kids? Because the kids tend to come with us a lot, and there's three of them. So, Kelly, why don't you stand up and let the congregation build you up and edify you? Because she's the mojo that makes it all happen, I promise you right now. I promise you. If you're live on Facebook, lots of like, lots of hearts. Share this with somebody. If you're in the house tonight, thank you so much for coming out. I am honored, and I find it a privilege to be standing here today, and I'm extremely excited about sharing what God is doing in me, what He's doing through me, and I hope that can help you and change your life today, because this message is all about what God is doing in me, and I hope you can see that, and it comes out of me, and it helps you in your life. And I just think about the road we've been on the past 4 months. It's been a crazy ride. It really has been. We've faced a lot of adversities. Like Ryan was sharing, we've made a lot of adjustments, each and every one of us. And I just want to say to the elders and the pastors, as a growing leader, I've stepped back and I've watched them make decisions. I've watched them make changes. I've watched them adjust. And I said, hey, that's the leadership stuff I'm teaching. Hey, that's the leadership stuff I'm trying to learn. Hey, that's the leadership that I'm trying to grow in. So let's give it back to our pastors and our elders for making great leadership decisions for St. Anthony's and for City Church. I just want to share a story with you. Has anybody been to Orlando, Florida and been on the Back to the Future ride? Anybody? So a real quick story. Back to the Future ride. I'm not a big ride guy anymore. Okay, I hop on this. It's like this big square box. If you remember Back to the Future, it was a movie. So you get on and you got this 3D screen in front of you and this ride picks you up and you're strapped in. And it looks like you're flying through the city. If you remember Back to the Future, water's shooting at you, the wind's blowing, and you're getting all shook up, your clothes get all jacked up, and the ride just sets you back down in the same place that you left. But you're a mess. And that's what life does with us sometimes. It picks us up, it shakes us around, makes a mess of our hair, our clothes, And it can set you right back in the place it found you, but it's a mess. And that's what I want to share tonight, is how sometimes life can do that. Sometimes experiences and external circumstances can injure us, can destroy us and break our hearts. Tell me if this sounds like anything you've said before. I'm done. I'm done trying. I'm done stretching. I'm done loving. I'm done giving. I'm done getting my heart broke. I'm sick of sticking my neck out there. I've been mistreated. I've been tricked. I've been duped. Has anyone been victim to some of those circumstances? And I want to share that because I have a real story that I can share with you tonight. And I grew up in a home, in a childhood that was very destructive, very chaotic. And it was ups and downs. And it was a constant crisis. And I'm not going to get too far into it, but I became a victim of my circumstances. My heart became very hard, very injured, and very hurt. And as a result of that, I started a coping mechanism. Now hear this. I tried to start controlling the uncontrollables. I started trying to control every circumstance that I wasn't trying to control. All the external circumstances. But the one thing that I was letting go of control of was being able to control myself. I let it go. So I handed off myself to everybody else, my feelings, my hurts, my decisions, because I was actually trying to control every other circumstance around me. So Father God, I just come to you in Jesus' mighty name. God, I know this word is for somebody. God, I know that you've worked in me to share your word. And God, not my mind, not my flesh, but your Holy Spirit, fill this place. God, use my words. Lord, control my body. Work through me. Nothing about me. And God, I stand here because of you. And I share your word because of you. And thank you in Jesus' mighty name. I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. As God reveals himself to me, God is showing me that I don't have to be a victim to my past. I can be victorious. As he speaks to me, as he works in me, helping me grow in areas that I need to grow in, I see more and more of his goodness and his love for me. Tonight I share a message, and I want to share about being having victory and being victorious and not a victim. And I believe this message is timely as this crisis just kind of keeps on snowballing. I believe it's timely, and I believe it's needed, and I believe it's for somebody, whether you're here in person or whether you're live on Facebook. I want to share a scripture with you tonight. It's out of Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, we all know this. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We know these. They roll off our tongue like it's just part of, we just say them. Against them, there is no law. I believe self-control is the glue. I believe it's the vine that holds all of these fruits together. And I love to define words. Self-control is the ability to control oneself, in particular, one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult times. I pride myself in self-discipline and resilience and self-perseverance and self-control and self-command and willpower. But without the Holy Spirit, without God working in with me, it's nothing. It's just me trying my own will. And I believe self-control is wisdom. And self-control is strength. I don't read the Amplified Version very much, But in 2 Peter 1 through 5, it's a little lengthy, but I want to read it because it kind of expands this scripture a little bit. For this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, making every effort in exercising, Pastor Aaron, your faith to develop moral excellence in moral exercise, knowledge, insight, understanding, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, steadfast, and in steadfast, godliness. Galatians 5, 24 through 25 reads, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. If we are following the leading of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, we have the strength that He gives us to have self-control, to choose the fruits of the Spirit, and not become victim of the flesh. We follow Christ and are led by His Spirit because Christ is the example of being victorious and not a victim. Jesus displayed self-control and is the greatest example of living in the Spirit. I got a video coming up, not yet, Paulie, but Jesus is on trial with Pilate. I just want to lay the foundation of the story. He's on trial. He's done all his ministry. He's been betrayed. He's been arrested. And now he stands in front of Pilate. He's the governor. He makes laws. And in Matthew 27, 1 through 13, now Jesus was standing there before Pilate, the Roman governor. Are you the king of the Jews? The governor asked him. Jesus replied, you said it. But when the leading priests and the others made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. Don't you hear all these things they are bringing against you? Pilate demanded. Go ahead, Paulie, hit that video. as he stood there on trial. He had every right to defend himself. His friends blew him off. His family questioned his motives. He had been tempted by the devil, accused by lawmakers of rebellion, betrayed by a close friend, lied about, falsely accused. People turned their back on him. People hated him. But he stood there like a soldier, fully God, fully man, and full of the Holy Spirit. As everyone around him fell victim to the current circumstances, the hate, the anger, the confusion, even Pilate fell victim to the law and the pressure of the crowd. Matthew 27:14 says, "But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise." Jesus exhibited true crucifixion of the mind, body, but stayed in the spirit. He said nothing. At that moment, he chose love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Jesus let go of all the external to be the greatest example of internal control, to give you and I eternal life. We follow Jesus because he's the Son of God. We follow him because he is the fruit of the Spirit. He lived it. He walked it. He talked it. There was no lapse, no gap, no crack, no hidden sin. He showed us how to walk. We are not victims. We are victorious in Jesus. Get up, stand up, and walk. You are victorious in Jesus Christ. A victim lives in bondage. A victor lives in freedom. Jesus has given us the greatest freedom. Jesus is the greatest victory. We have victory. Victory to live in the Spirit. To live in the Spirit is to have self-control against sin. To be led by the Spirit. The Pharisees lived by the flesh, by the law, the old law. That's why Jesus came to show us a new way. Not an eye for an eye, but one that says, "I love you and that I forgive you." We must live in the spirit of victory, not fall victim to the flesh. True victory comes within. The Spirit of God dwells within. The world teaches us to do whatever we want, whatever we feel. Feelings and emotions are real, but the key is the right actions, the right choices. And they'll give us the right results, they'll give us the right responses, and they'll give us the right actions. I truly believe self-control is one of the greatest fruits of the Spirit. If you choose self-control, you're choosing love over hate, joy over misery, peace over chaos, patience over selfishness, kindness over disservice, faithfulness over wandering, and self-control over indiscipline. How do we follow the leading of the Spirit that the Scripture tells us about? It's all about connection. Connection, connection, connection. Our number one connection is with God. Sitting down, talking things out with God, getting a plan with God, like Ryan was sharing, a roadmap. Everything he's asked for has come to pass. We need that promise. Without proactive planning, we live a reactive life because we aren't taking time to talk and listen and pray with God. We need God's roadmap telling us where we're going, how we're going to get there. The Word of God, the Holy Scripture, is our roadmap. We also need a personal communication with God. Every day we need to connect and share with God. There should be a prioritized and protected time every day. Know that you can open your heart and share with God. This allows us to connect and unify. It allows us to process our thoughts and our emotions with God to stay healthy and to stay current. In an atmosphere of prioritized daily communication, emotions aren't allowed to become stale and toxic. There's a sense of relationship and partnership and intimacy with God. This is especially true when communicating our needs with God. We also need intimate communication. This means communication that is loving and encouraging, praising and affectionate with God, telling God how much we love Him, how much we need Him, how much He means to us, how thankful we are to have Him in our life. It keeps things vibrant. It keeps negative and criticism from slowly creeping in to your relationship and creating emotional erosion that slowly deteriorates your relationship with God. This daily discipline of praise and affection protects and promotes intimate love that is the care of every good relationship with God. And as I start coming to a close, connection, seek wise counsel, godly counsel. Get around some people that might say, Brad, that victim mentality is coming out in you a little bit. You got to make some adjustments. Get around some people. Doesn't feel comfortable, but allows you to adjust your sails. Proverbs 1 tells us, let wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. And the last part of connection is find your tribe. 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 We have a lot of tribes, aka connect groups. Find your tribe. Our motto here at City Church is we do life together. If you're live on Facebook, we do life with you live on Facebook. As we gain more self-control, it is not the loss of controlling the external. It's the gain of controlling within. To let go of the outward reactions and external circumstances. Internal self-control is the greatest gain in the greatest loss. The gain of controlling self, which is the only controllable. The loss of controlling the external, trying to control the uncontrollables. And I just want to encourage you as I close. If we choose love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we choose Jesus. And if we choose Jesus, we choose to be victorious, and we choose to be victorious in Jesus Christ. So I just thank you for coming out tonight, and I just want to close, and I just want to pray and find victory in Jesus. Find your relationship with Him. Connect with Him. Get intimate with Him. Talk to Him. Pray with Him. Get around the right people. Connect with a tribe. And learn that you have control of yourself. You are not a victim of your past circumstances. You are not a victim of your external circumstances. You are not a victim of any crisis that's going on inside of you. Because if you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, you are victorious in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for this message that you put in my heart to change me, God. And I just pray that it helps somebody, whether you're in person or whether you're live on Facebook. I pray that you're victorious, 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 victorious in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, give Brad a hand tonight. Yeah, give him a hand. Weren't you blessed tonight? Amen. We're thankful for Brad. Brad has been around how long? 18 years. Isn't that wonderful? Brad, if you didn't know this, Brad is one of the elders here at the church, and we're very, very thankful for his leadership and influence on the body of Christ here, and we look forward to doing life for a long time together. Amen. Give him one more hand, would you? We want to leave you with this tonight. Wisdom, having wise counsel, finding your tribe, and most importantly, finding Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. We believe tonight that when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, that that's the first step towards becoming a new creature, having new habits, walking in new life. And this is how we pray that simple prayer. We'd ask that everyone in the room, and if you're at home, you'd like to pray this prayer with us, just say, Lord Jesus, we give you our hearts. We commit our lives to you. Help us to change. We believe in you. Come and live in us. In Jesus' name. We believe if you prayed that prayer that you have a home in heaven. We want to invite you here to City Church in St. Anthony's this coming Sunday, 8:30 and 10 o'clock, 12 noon at St. Anthony's. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. God bless you, and we'll see you real soon. We love you, church.